Okay, Ethan was back with the kids, and so I said, what'd you preach on? And I said, Ezra's Journey of the New Year. And he said, I'm preaching the rest of it here. He said, tell me the first 5 points. I said, you had to be there to get that. And I said, I wanted to eat anyway. But I will not hold you long because you will sleep on me. I loved all that food. Thank you. We are at number 6. Ethan, I'll bring you up to speed. Chapter 7 of Ezra. And nobody has to turn their Bible, but you have it, that's fine. Liliana says, you've already gone over your half hour. And she counts in retrospect. But we talked about how that Ezra was going to make this journey of probably 900,000 miles away. They would go all over the place. And he started out on the new year. Now, there may be other passages beside the two I mentioned that start on the first day of the first month. But he prepared his heart. He made a start. He had a letter from the king. He took folks with him, and he willingly gave. And here's the sixth one. It's found in verse 25, still of chapter number 7. I'll read it, and I don't expect you have your Bible, but it's in verse 25. And thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God that is in thine hand, set magistrates and judges, which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, and all such as know the laws of thy God, and teach them that know them not. Now it also said in verse number 10 that he was to teach also, that he would teach in Israel statutes and judgments. So the sixth thought that I picked out of this journey that he makes in the new and starts on the new year is that he taught the truth. He taught the truth. And we all have a teaching ministry. Some homeschool, some have kids at home. Others of us, you're just all teachers. I kind of made that point. People are watching you, and they see you, and you just don't know. You may not know to heaven. Somebody will come up and say, and you'll say, I didn't know you made it. And they say, yeah, you influenced me. You were a part of the whole thing. It's okay, Liliana. There's the seventh one. I told you I won't be long. They sought, and this is in chapter number 8, he sought the Lord. Okay, he's going to make this long journey. He starts out on the new year. Can I imagine he came to his wife, and I'm being facetious, and said, we're leaving the first of the year. When? Oh, sometime today. She said, well, are you going to stay and watch the football game before you leave? Are you going to watch the parade early in the morning? He said, we're leaving on the first. He's going to make a trip that he's never made before. And he's going to go all the way to Jerusalem, which is the home place, but we don't know he ever was there before. Probably wasn't from him going. So he is going on a journey that he has never made before. He's already talked a bunch of people to go with him. He's had it, the king financed some of it, and then the rest of his friends give. And so he does what anybody ought to do. He sought the Lord. In chapter number 8, verse 21, it says, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. So we're bringing our whole family. We're bringing all this goods. And he's actually started a little ways on the way, about 12 days, and they kind of regroup, get everybody together, and now they're kicking it off, and he says, I got to ask the Lord, and I need help. And he fasted, the Bible says. It's almost like the story of Joshua, where Joshua is getting ready. He's just been made the leader. Moses has passed away. He's now the leader, and they're going to go across the Jordan River. Now, he went through the Red Sea, but he wasn't leading. I read these stories of men, especially in military, when they come to the leadership position. And some of them are very good at the lower position. They were a great brigadier, but a major general, they couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle the leadership. Well, in the Bible, when God put somebody in there, all I had to do was ask the Lord. And so Joshua got very concerned about that. But I remember the phrase when they were telling the people, follow us, and they remind them, you have not passed this way heretofore. We're going to go into the promised land. We're going to go across the Jordan River. You follow line. You obey because you haven't been this way before. And neither had Joshua, but Joshua knew that the Lord was going to give him the way. And so they sought him. Fasted, they prayed. Old Dr. Porter used to say this. He said, you can't do more than pray until you pray. And there's a lot of truth to that. Sometimes we just have to ask God, how are we going to get how are we going to do this thing? And God will help you. And he loves us. And if you understand he's your father, and that if you become a father, you know you want to do good things for your kids. And you, where it says in Psalm 103, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Ask him. A story that comes to mind was George Mueller, which was an Englishman. He lived in the mid to late 1800s. And I think he lived into the 1900s, but his main ministry. And he started, he was a German who got saved out of Lutheranism. It's an interesting story. If you've never read it, there's a book called Rebel of Bristol. It's worth your read. And I've read it, I think, twice. But what got him going, he's studying for the Lutheran ministry. And his dad's telling him to be a Lutheran minister. And he goes to a, we'd call it a Bible church today. It wasn't necessarily Baptist, but it was a Bible church. And they preached the Bible. He'd just never seen anything, a nonconformist church. And what got a hold of his heart was the preacher would kneel down beside the pulpit and pray. And that shook him enough to really start studying what is going on. And he became saved. And he quit the Lutheran ministry, going to school. And his dad got mad at him and said, who's going to take care of me when I get old? He said, well, God's called me. So he got called to be a missionary. He's a German. He goes to England and he becomes a missionary to Jews. Germany and Jews usually don't, that doesn't usually go together, especially a few years after that when people came to, but he gets there, he does a lousy job. So they fire him. They tell him, you know, don't call us, we'll call you. So he just has a burden and begins ministering there in that country and marries a girl that her brother's a preacher. And eventually they get this, when they go in these huge towns, they see all these orphans. They get a love for them. And so they said, we're going to start an orphanage. They buy an old house, and during that time, he started a verse in the Bible, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. That was his verse. And he just pray and ask God for this. You get all this in this short little book. It's not very big, but this story comes from it. And so they decided to have this orphanage. And they prayed and they got everything. The day they opened it, they had a grand opening, taken orphans, nobody showed. Nobody. And God had answered all those prayers. And he sat down and he thought, my father answers prayers. And his wife said, you know, we prayed for this and for this and for this and for this and the money and that all came in. And during his whole ministry, he never asked anybody for money. That was his card, if you're going to say. Now, some people say, okay, after everybody knew that, and he had 2,000 orphans, you know, they know that he's got to have money. But he never would ask people for money and that. No, you know, fundraising, banquets, anything. But he didn't have any. The first time he opened, he didn't have any. So his wife turned to him and said, you prayed for all that. Did you pray for orphans? He said, no, he didn't do that. So they prayed right there. The next day, they had like 32 of them show up. And it's funny, they tell the story. One kid's throwing rocks, and he broke windows out. And so they brought him to him, and the aunt was with him and said, he broke it. And the aunt said, but you still got to take him. She couldn't take care of him. They sought the Lord. Here's the eighth one. It's in verse 22. They trusted God. They're going on this journey through bad areas. Bedouins live in this area. Not only as you got the dry, you know, of all the climatic problems, but you have enemies. I remember reading a book, and somewhere in the book is talking about the early explorations of the Bible lands. It was like in the 1800s, 1890s, say. And the guy said, you don't want to go through certain areas or not go alone because it's just too dangerous. They will get you, you know, thieves will rob you and kill you. Well, this crowd's going through this area, and they've got wealth, they've got all their kids. And verse 22, here's what Ezra said, For I was ashamed to require the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way. So I knew there was enemies out there. And he's taking his family, you know, all the families of the people he's invited, the little kids and all the wealth. And he says, yeah, but I've told the king how great our God is. And I can't come back and say, you know, would you mind lending us a few soldiers? He said, I couldn't do it. He said, because we had spoken to the king saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. For his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So what did he do as he started on this journey? Well, the eighth thing was he trusted God. He wasn't just preaching now. Now he had to live it. And we'll all come into our lives times that we just have to trust God. Now we're just coming out. We're always in one with her. But, I mean, we're really coming out of one where on the first day of summer, we get a diagnosis that she has liver cancer. Liliana has liver cancer. And were we sad? Yeah, we were sad. But one of the first things that came to my mind was the three Hebrew children. I mean, they stand before Nebuchadnezzar, which was a king a few years before this story. And Nebuchadnezzar said, bow down. They said, no, we don't do that. We believe in God. Bow down, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And then they answer. They say, you know what? And I'm paraphrasing. They say, our God can deliver us. But if he doesn't, we're still going to trust God. So that's what came to my mind. Okay, God has allowed her to live 8 years. She wasn't supposed to live. One in 100 are born. I mean, that's the odds. You don't play odds. And when she was born, half died within the first week. And so we had lots of things to be thankful for. Number one, she was born, and after 9 days when they sent her out, that she topped that half. So we always looked at figures, and I was always trying to see what are somebody in front of me so I know what I'm looking at. And the first few days that she was born, everybody died. I'd get home. She was in the hospital. But I'd get home, and I'd get on the Internet. Everyone's dead. I mean, they lived a few days. One little kid lived long enough to be either it was baptized, you know, not real baptism, but they sprinkled him, or it was dedicated. I can't remember. But he lived till Sunday, and then the kid died. I'm thinking, so I just be on the Internet and just weep, just because there's nothing. And that's one reason we started this thing on Liliana, so that somebody coming behind can see what can happen to a little girl. And God let her live. So she goes through heart surgery, all those things. So we've learned to trust God. But now I have to learn to trust God with liver cancer. And when she was at Peyton Manning, they said, it's a long word, she has HCC. Liver cancer is very rare. It's one in a million kids. That's all that is. If you'll pick that piece up there, you can read some what I'm telling you. And I'm going to cut it short. But one in a million kids. And so here's a girl that has liver cancer that's very rare, besides having trisomy 18. But God has provided. And so I kind of looked at those Hebrew children and I said, you know what? If they can trust God, I can trust God. And so we just went through it all. And make a long story short, God healed her. At least she's cancer-free now. And your prayers made the difference. It's not money. Money, you can't do anything. But money doesn't do anything to get rid of cancer. It's God who does. And when we left Peyton Manning, it was HCC cancer. That's what they predict. They had taken the biopsy and said, and that's only a 20% success rate to even heal those type of cancers. So it looked pretty grim. But God changes it all around. He trusted God. He's going into a hostile area. Here's number 9. And it's interesting, and I don't know, it has a lot to do, but at least it's part of it, that you see that Ezra and his group became accountable. It's in chapter number 24. They have all these gifts that are given them. Chapter 8, verse 24 says, then I separated 12 chief men, verse 25. I weighed unto them the silver and the gold, the vessels, the offering. So whatever, they weighed it all out so that they'll see if it makes, when they get to their destination, Jerusalem, do they have it all? And so there was accountability there. And that's just an interesting thought there. That is what was part of his first day. We are to be accountable. I don't know, you have to tell every, you don't have to tell somebody all your sins. There's some of it goes way out. But there is the idea of being who you are in front of people in that. And then the 10th one, because I saw two of you nod off. Number 10, no, I only saw one, it's the truth. He made the trip. He made the trip. And that's in verse number 32. It says, and we came to Jerusalem. And they got there and they abode 3 days. Now the wall's not been built, so it's a Nehemiah says it's a really rough looking city when he gets there. And so Ezra saw this torn down city. They arrived there 3 days. It took them 4 months to get there, but they made it. Okay, they made it. And as you study it, they made it with the people, so they had success. The people made it, and not only when they put all of the gold and silver, it's all there too. Didn't lose anything. You know what? God doesn't lose anything either. Make the trip. We need to make the trip. Start this Christian life and make it to the end. My dad had a, I remember him telling, he went to Bible college, and when he was young, maybe still in Bible college, maybe just out, but he saw the people that would start but not finish, and they wouldn't make it. They would start the journey, have some of those good ideas that Ezra had, but they just didn't make it. And so when he was a young man, he said, I'm going to serve the Lord till I'm 50 years old. He made that pledge to himself. 50 years old, I'm going to serve the Lord till I'm 50 years old. Well, he got it there. Of course, I heard him say it later. When he got to 50, he said, it was such a great life, I decided to finish the race. So make up your mind. I'm going to serve the Lord. Maybe you're young. I'm going to serve the Lord. Go 50 years like he did. If you do that and got it, and the Lord doesn't come back, you'll be like my dad. Let's just go all the rest of the way. Maybe you're older and said, I just like to serve God this year, and I'm going to serve him with everything I have. I'm going to make the run. Just trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not in thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. And one last thought. I have a dear old teacher. He's in his, I think his late 80s. I don't think he hit 90. He's still living. But this is what he would I've heard him say. And I, as I say it, I think about it. He'd look and he'd say, the will of God for my life, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else.